I see we have Activate with us today. So I think I have new people to call on. I'll make them worry about that for a few minutes. For those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Bob Menser. I'm one of the teaching elders here, and I will be speaking to you over the next couple of weeks. The title of this series is called, What's Your Excuse? Now, most of you in here probably are not real good at excuses. So my intention today is to help you learn some really good excuses. I mean, you know, it goes way back. The dog ate my homework. I mean, we all know that's an excuse. We've all used that excuse. And those of us who have dogs, and even those of us who didn't have dogs, we used that excuse. Excuses. They justify us. So, this year, we have discussed with you, it's a year of titled To Yield. That means to give way. But sometimes we fail to yield. So I'm going to go back a few weeks to Alan's teaching. You remember Israel came up to the edge of the promised land, and Moses sent 12 spies in to spy out the land. And his theme was entitled Fit, where we have Caleb and Joshua who return with a good report. But I want to look at what they first said. Thus they told him and said, We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. And if you'll recall, they had brought back this huge cluster of grapes that was suspended on a pole between two men. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Certainly. It should be ours. It can be ours. But they came up with some good excuses. How do we make good excuses? Well, what they said is, this is a perfect time. Finn. Yes. Uh-oh. What kind of excuses do you see up there? Okay. He said the people are strong, the cities are fortified, and what else? They're large. They're big. So they're starting to create a number of excuses for themselves. How about this side? Jack, gotcha.
The land through which we have gone in flying it out.
Okay, so what's the excuse there? They were scared. I would have died in the land. I'd rather had died in the land of Egypt. Would that we had died in the wilderness. You know, sometimes when we get our excuses going, we look back and we say, it was so much easier there, wasn't it? In the old land. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Could it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Excuses for not yielding. Excuses. Well, how many types of excuses are there? Well, we're going to see a lot, and we're going to start with the very first excuse. And I love this excuse. And he said, and this is God talking to the man, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" This is it. This is the critical point. I've often thought, you know, if he'd have just given a different answer, all of the world might be a little bit different. But you know what he said. You know, all the men know what he said. The man said, "The woman! That's my excuse. This woman." And you know what the second excuse is? "You, God, you gave her to me. I'm justified." Because it was the woman and you, God. See, we're good at excuses. We're good at covering our flaws. We're good at not yielding. I want to look at Gideon for a second, just to do the history of it before that you understand what had happened. Is Israel, as usual, had done evil in the sight of the Lord, and God said, "For 7 years, I'm going to have the Midianites plunder you." And so every year at about harvest time, when they had sown the grain and they had sown the grapes and everything and they had gotten them around, the Midianites would show up and plunder and take it all. Now the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Now you have to understand, Gideon in this picture, he's hiding in a wine vat. And he's down, crouched down, and he's beating the grain so that the Midianites don't see what's going on. And obviously the vat is empty. It doesn't have grapes in it. And the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "O valiant warrior." Now, I don't know about your Bible, but sometimes when I'm reading my Bible and it says, "O blessed one," or it says, "O child of God," or in one case it says, "Saint." And how do I respond to that when I read that? Oh, yeah. I don't feel like a child of God. Well, I'm sure Gideon didn't feel like a valiant warrior, but that's how God was seeing him. Then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? And the first thing Gideon looks at is his circumstances. What's going on around me? Have you ever been there? Oh, if God was for me, why would this be happening? Why would my car break down now? Why would the kids get sick now? Why would these bills come? If God, you were for me. And we look and say, these are circumstances. Look at them. How could God be for me if all of this is going on? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. There, that's an accusation against God again. You've abandoned me. Is that an excuse you've ever used? I remember years ago I did. I had a list of, I could teach you guys lots of excuses. I've used them. If you would be for me, why would this be happening, Lord? If you love me, and we begin to see it as an excuse. My circumstances dictate my failure to yield. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? And he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh. Oh, refocusing. Look at where I come from. Look at my people. Look at my dad. Look at my mom. Look at my aunts, my uncles. Look at my family. God wouldn't use me. Look at them. We're the least. We're the least in Manasseh. We're the least. And then he says, and I'm the youngest. I'm the youngest. Would God use me as the youngest? Asher's saying, yeah, man. Yeah, he would use me. Well, Moses. Moses is the king of excuses. Okay? And I want to set the stage. You know the story of Moses if you've seen the Ten Commandments. Here comes Moses, and he sees this bush that's on fire, and he turns aside to look at it, and the bush speaks to him. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. Moses said, Yeah, you've heard it. So I, God says, I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Therefore, come now. I'm going to send you. Now, wait a minute. Didn't you say, I just came down and I heard the cry and I am coming to deliver them? Yeah, I said that. And I'm going to send you. Wow. Well, Moses now begins, and he's got five great excuses. So if you were taking notes, Write these down so you can use them later on when God says, oh, I'm going to use you. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And what should I bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? See, first thing he said, I'm not qualified. I don't have a PhD. I'm just a shepherd here. I've been here for 40 years. I'm not qualified to do this. Why would you want me? Now God says, wait a minute, and we don't have these up here, but God's response to that question is, who am I? God says, I'll be with you. Did you ever hear that before? I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the ends of the age. I will not leave you or forsake you. I am the good shepherd. I'll be with you. Oh, wait a minute. This is not working. Then he said, Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? Again, I don't have authority. I'm not qualified, and I don't have authority to do this. And God says, here's what you tell them. You tell them, I am sent you. You tell them that it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent you. You tell them that they had better heed what I say. He says, what if they won't believe me or listen to me, what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. I'm not going to be effective. I'm not qualified. I don't have authority. I probably won't be effective. And God says, see that staff you have in your hand? Throw it down. Moses throws it down. And it turns into a serpent. Moses goes, ooh, that's something. He says, put your hand inside your shirt. Moses puts his hand inside his shirt. God says, pull it out. He pulls it out and it's leprous. He said, put it back in. Okay, he puts it back in. Pull it out, and it's cured. He said, if they won't believe me, you will be effective. I'm telling you, don't make any more excuses. And if that doesn't work, I want you to go down and take the water of the Nile and dip it out and pour it out onto the ground, and it'll turn into blood. That will make you effective. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. I'm not gifted in these areas. You getting the excuses? I'm not qualified. I won't be effective. I'm not gifted. And what does God say to him? Who made the mouth? Did I not make the mouth? I'm sending you. I will teach you what to say. Well, and then Moses, excuse number 5, the best one of all. I don't want to. Send somebody else. I'm not saying any of you have ever used these excuses. But I am saying that they're in the Bible. And I'm thinking I've used a few of them. I've probably used the last one a lot. You don't have to be so quick to agree. Then somebody else. Send Judah. Better yet, send Donovan. Well, maybe not better yet. Send Judah. And it says, then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. I'm saying he was really patient. He went through five excuses. I'm sending you, Moses, and I'm going to give you a helper now. That's what you want. So I'm going to give you your brother, and he'll help you. Helper. Wow. I've never heard that before. I wonder whether I've ever had a helper. God says, yeah. Don't you worry, I'm going to give you a helper. And he's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to teach us. Don't say, I can't do it. Well, Aaron. Aaron is my favorite. My favorite excuse man. And you remember that so Moses is already, he's been ordained as the high priest, and Moses goes up into the mountain for 40 days, and everybody, all the Israelites sort of get a little uptight that Moses isn't coming back, and you know what they do? They say, Aaron, we've got this great idea. We need an idol. That's what we need. We need an idol. So why don't you make an idol for us? You're the high priest. So Aaron gets busy, and he collects all of the gold from their earrings, starts forming this great calf, this molten calf. Well, God says, Moses, you got trouble down below. You better go back down and check and see what's going on. So Moses comes back down, and of course the people are having this big party, and they have this golden calf, and they're worshiping this golden calf. And Moses says to his brother, what did this people do to you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? Well, let's see, what excuse could Aaron make up? And Aaron said, don't be mad at me, Lord. You know, the people yourself, they're prone to evil. See, we're quick to blame somebody else, not me, it's them. It's those church people. If we didn't have those church people around us, everything would be much better. But no, you know those church people. They're prone to evil, not the church. But that's Moses, that's Aaron's excuse. Well, that doesn't work so well. And here it is. The best excuse, I just want you to hang on there. This is it, drum roll. This is it. Good, I got a drum roll. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, okay, let me end that. And I let them tear it off, so they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire. I don't know how it happened. Oh, don't laugh so much. You've all used that one. I don't know how it happened. I don't know where the candy bar came from. It was just appeared there. Excuses for failing to yield. Well, let's move on to some New Testament excuses. Thomas, you know, it's kind of easy. So the other disciples were saying to him, oh, we have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see in his hands and the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe. Unless you do it, God, unless you heal me, unless you provide for me, I'm not going to believe it. And that's my excuse, and I'm going to stick to it. Now, in this particular case, we know that the Lord was so merciful. He does show up. But the point is, do we put a demand on God as an excuse for our unbelief, our failure to yield? If you'd only done this, Lord, if you'd only done this, then it'd have been okay. But you didn't. This is Felix. And I used Felix here just simply because, well, you'll see it here in a minute. This is from the book of Acts. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, and this is, he's talking with Paul about this, Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you. When I find time. Isn't that a great excuse? If I just had the time. We happen to talk about that on Thursday night. That's when we do our life group. And we were talking about scrolling. Really Christian thing to talk about, scrolling. And how we get caught up in scrolling. Do you ever get caught up in scrolling? I must confess that I do. If I just had time, Lord. If I just had time. Oh, yeah. That's really funny. Uh-huh. Oh, if I just had time, Lord, I would do whatever you want me to do. I would study my Bible and I would, if I just had time. Felix said, if I just had time, we could get back to this, but I don't like where it's going. Jesus tells a parable. He tells a parable about how he had invited this man who we see in the parable as God inviting his people to the final delightful festival, the wedding feast of the bride. And he says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land and need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. I've got other things to do. Or another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Yeah. Oh, not this week, but next week is the prayer time for the community. It's here. At, what time is that at here? It's at 4. Yeah, it's at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock every first Sunday of the month. Every Sunday. And, oh, please, excuse me, but the Eagles are playing. I told him he was fair game today. Oh, we're having a meeting today at 6:30. Who's playing? Well, it's not the Eagles, but... please consider me excused. I have other things to do. Another one said, I've married a wife. And for that reason, I can't come. We are people of excuses when it comes to yielding. And we can think up all kinds. Aaron is my favorite. It just showed up. There it is. It came out. We don't want this stuff. I want to close. I cut this short because I thought we were having baptism, but I'll talk about baptism in a minute. This is from James. Yeah, I can see it there. James 1:6. But we must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect. Anything from the Lord. Being filled with excuses. It doesn't say that. But a double-minded man is filled with excuses why they can't yield, why they can't surrender. Oh, the voices were loud this morning. Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes. You want to send me? Oh, I've got other things to do. I don't have the time. So we were going to have a baptism today, but we didn't. It's because we didn't have anybody show up to do it. And I want to tell you two stories, one true, one half true. But it makes my point. Years ago, I heard a pastor teaching on baptism, and he was getting ready to baptize a young girl, late teens, early 20s. And she said, do I have to get my hair wet? I don't want to get my hair wet. You're about to make a commitment to the Lord. It's an overture that says, I will follow you, and you don't want to get your hair wet. That's a good excuse, I guess. And I also had years and years ago, we had someone who said, oh, I don't need to be baptized. Christ. The Lord knows my heart. And so I don't need to be baptized. He looks at my heart. Now, I think that the scripture says repent and be baptized, but and I bought that for a while. After a while, I thought, yeah, the Lord does see your heart. He sees it stubborn, unyielding, selfish. But you don't have to be baptized. But he sees your heart. So we make up excuses. Excuses why I don't have to be baptized. And I'm going to do one that is not up here, but it has occurred to me. And I want to talk about Psalm 63:4. You know, I'm sure you all have that memorized because you're all good Bible students. It's actually one of the first scriptures that I half committed to memory. It says, I will lift up my hands to the name of the Lord. Now, when I first went into, after I was saved, and I first went into a church, I saw all these people lifting their hands. And I put glue in my pockets. Because I'm not going to look like that. I'm not going to be foolish. Scripture says, lift up your hands. Oh, everybody will look at me. No, they won't. I'll tell you a story. This is a true story. We went to a church. It was called the Tabernacle of the Living God, T-O-T-L-G. We used to make up a song. Oh, I go to the T-O-T-L-G. I can't sing it, but. And there was a converted Jew there. He was a doctor. Loved the Lord. And during worship, somehow, I don't know how he got in touch with Danny and I, but he said, let's go in the back of the sanctuary. Okay? He said, we'll do the hora. Now, whether you know what the hora is or not, it's a dance where you get in a circle and you go, yeah. Close. And I said, you want us to do that in the back of the church here? Yeah, that's worshiping the Lord. Well, everybody look at me. Yeah, they won't. Their heads are they're looking the other way. So, was I going to yield? Or wasn't I going to yield? And I said, okay. And so back. So I'm just saying, next week, 4, 5, 6 of you, Yeah. Yielding and giving way and saying yes, certainly, as the song said, requires us to die, to lay down our pride and our self and our excuses. Because our excuses justify our bad behavior. And so, I don't want to leave you with on such a downer. Because next week, we're going to put aside excuses for sure. And we're going to, the title of next week is, But As For Me. We have choices to make. When you get up in the morning, you have a choice to make. When you come to church, you have a choice to make. When you're with your friends, you have a choice to make. And you can either make excuses, well, nobody else does that. Or I don't feel like it. Or I'm too tired. Or I don't have time. Or I'm not qualified. Or I'm not effective. Or whatever the excuse. And it's time, if you're going to yield and say yes, then we need to learn to say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And as for me, my house will follow the Lord. Amen. Amen.